It doesn't happen quickly. It takes a lot of work. But it truly is, Stephen. We're in the right commodities. We're in the right location, being right next door to Perpetua.
Yeah.
We're in a commodity pricing environment that is very positive for what we've got. This isn't a transitional thing. This isn't, a little price spike in something like tungsten or gold. Like, we are on to a pricing environment that I think is sustainable over the medium to long term, and with this big push on for domestic sources of supply. So it I think we're in a real good place with the Horsehaven project.
Good day, everybody. Steve Yang here, Natural Resource Stocks. I have with me Craig Lindsay, who is CEO of U.S. Operations with Resolution Minerals. How are you, Craig?
Steve, I'm doing great. Fantastic to be with you today.
Well, great to have you back. Well, Craig, last time we spoke, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff that you're hoping for, a lot of drilling going on. What have you learned so far? If you can give us an update on what's latest with Resolution.
Well, a couple of things. Number one, the drilling continues to move at a great pace down at the Horsehaven project. I've got over 30 holes in the ground right now. We are waiting for drill results to start trickling in from ALS. So that's a frustrating part of our business. But as we are very much looking forward to starting to share drill results in the near future. We brought on a new guy to run our operations down at Yellow Pine. I don't live in Idaho. And so we made a decision to bring in a relatively senior guy to run local operations. And that's going to take away a bunch of my responsibilities down there and allow me to go out and do some of the more strategic work that we're doing in Washington, doing some work from a capital markets and corporate development perspective in the US in advance of our upcoming NASDAQ listing. So we're really excited to have that hole filled down there. And then permitting. It's a boring part of our business. People don't want to hear about it. They want to hear about drill results. They want to hear about good things. But permitting is a necessary evil, and we are and that's really a big piece of our story over the next 9 months or so, is getting a new plan of operation in place for the Horsehaven project. We've got a very significant plan of operation that's been submitted to the U.S. Forest Service for both our Antimony Ridge and our Golden Gate project. That's going to allow us to get drills down on Antimony Ridge for the first time. We're permitting for a large bulk sample, and it's also going to allow for a much larger exploration footprint from a drilling perspective at Golden Gate. And it's been, I got to tell you, Steve, extremely refreshing to be working with the Forest Service right now. This FAST-41 transparency coverage that we've got for Antimony Ridge and Horsehaven, it is really fantastic to see the level of engagement that the Forest Service has with this. Everyone's a little bit out of their comfort zone with this FAST-41 process because they are tied down to agreed timelines rather than open-ended permitting. But that is really what the United States needs going forward if the current administration wants to deliver on their plans to develop these domestic sources of supply for these critical metals. Permitting is a it's a huge backlog. So that's going along at pace in the background. So yeah, really a lot going on. It's an exciting time for us.
Craig, last time we spoke, we talked a little bit about the Defense Industrial Base Consortium, and as well as the FAST-41. You also congratulations on the DIBC, but we also talked about the Fast 41 and how you corrected my misconception about it's not just about transparency, but it's also about, these weren't your words, but speed, and it does speed things up. Could you talk a little bit more about both of those things? Maybe what's motivating everybody to move things along, to get behind resolution, and if you can touch upon, things like tungsten as well.
Sure. Well, and with the Fast 41 program, what it's giving you, well, traditionally, permitting the United States, whether you're on BLM land, you're on Forest Service land, any public lands, the permitting timelines are generally open-ended. So the permitting, all of the hoops you have to jump through have not changed. But historically, if you're not under Fast 41, the permitting agency isn't working towards a specific timeline, that their timelines to complete the permitting is open-ended. Under Fast 41, you sit down with folks in Washington, you sit down with your local permitting people, and you establish and agree to a specific timeline where you're going to deliver all of the information that goes into the what's called the NEPA process to get your project permitted. And that's a significant difference. Instead of being open-ended and it'll get done when it gets done, everyone agrees to a timeline to get that permit completed and works towards that. So that's really something that's put together through something called the Permitting Council in Washington, D.C. And it's great to see Washington working with the local permitting folks. The local offices of the Forest Service are still the ones that are going to do all the work and stamp your plan of operation. They're the ones that are going to approve it. They're just working under accelerated time frames. So that's what's going on with Fast 41. And then this DIBC thing that you mentioned, the Defense Industrial Base Consortium, there's over 1,000 companies that are members of the DIBC, but that is the pathway to get companies into funding at the federal level for these critical metals projects. And as members of DIBC, we're provided access to some of the funding opportunities that are out there. And tungsten and antimony are high on the list. That's something that the current administration really is pushing. And it's not just the extraction side of it, the exploration, the development, the mining side of it. The current administration is very much interested in the processing side of it. And that's a significant backlog in the United States because so much of this processing, particularly for things like antimony, have been done in third-party locations, largely in China. So they're looking to onshore this, not just the mining, but the processing of these materials. And you can mine as much as you want, but if you don't have processing facilities and they're expensive and need to be built on scale, you don't have an industry. So that is a big push, and that's something that we are very involved in developing and presenting processing solutions to the Department of War. That's why we brought on this guy named Dr. Adam Roper, who's handling the development of our processing flow sheet. From an antimony perspective, we're developing a hydro metallurgical processing solution, which we feel is going to be more efficient, it's going to be cheaper, it's going to be cleaner, and that would be as opposed to a pyrometallurgical solution, which is the more common solution for the processing. So that's a big part of the business. And yeah, you mentioned tungsten, and it continues to be a sweet spot from a commodities pricing perspective. Every tungsten story out there is starting to get some love from an investor, a capital markets perspective. And I think we're going to be able to demonstrate a pretty interesting story with the drill results that we've got upcoming from the current drill program that's underway at the Golden Gate part of our project. And if your listeners Remember, Golden Gate is the site of the historic Golden Gate tungsten mine, which produced historically from the 50s right up until 1980. And that's an interesting story because we are looking to redevelop the historic portal, and we think we have the what we're seeing with drilling at the south end. We're seeing tungsten mineralization. We think it's geologically linked to the north end where the Golden Gate tungsten mine is located. And if we can demonstrate that, it's really going to be a neat story, particularly if the historic grades that have been present at Horse Seven. So that's a big part of the story. And remember, we do have historic stockpiles on site. So from a tungsten perspective and the resolution story, our first step will be getting those stockpiles processed through a third party. And when those stockpiles are sitting there in, grades 1.5 up to 2%, that's attractive to third party processing facilities. So we're going through that process of negotiating with a third party processor. And when that happens, we'll be in a position. We won't have to get licenses to mine. We've got stockpiles that are just were never processed historically. The idea is there to just ship them off site and get them processed and start generating some early stage revenues to offset some of our costs.
Greg, the stockpiles, can you confirm that you're referencing Johnson Creek? And then how are we with what's that look like? The finding a third party processor, is that how
We
realistic is that, and what's the realistic path to revenue here? Are we talking months or years?
I think it would be less than a year for sure. Number one. Number two, it's talking with a domestic processor. So this wouldn't be going outside of the US. It would be a processor within in the US who wants to see this high grade feed in their process. And in terms of Johnson Creek, yes. We actually own something called the Johnson Creek Mill, which is the historic mill that processed tungsten from the Golden Gate mine. And when they finished mining and processing in 1980, they had tonnage that was left on site at the John outside the Johnson Creek mill. So it's processing that material, but there is also material that was left outside the old mine portal up at the top of the hill behind me. So we would be looking at processing that material as well. And again, it's previously mined. It's just removing it and shipping it to a third party.
Craig, you mentioned that how tungsten's been getting some more love. I mean, I've been in love with tungsten for a long time. Could you talk a little bit, about just kind of the movement overall towards why we mentioned the Dipsy, why there's so much love for tungsten that people are seeing that maybe someone just listening in hasn't caught on yet or doesn't quite understand?
Well, tungsten does have quite a few military applications for it, and I think we all know that there are global conflicts ongoing, particularly in Europe and the Middle East, and the world is consuming tungsten on a fairly rapid pace. It's used as a hardener, for instance, in metals, and so it does have significant military applications. And with what's going on in the world today, it is being stockpiles are being consumed, and the United States is quite laser focused on developing stockpiles of these critical metals, including tungsten, and that's really helping drive the market, drive pricing on this stuff, and is allowing. And it's really nice to see that the you're seeing companies come out on a fairly regular clip in North America that have they're discovering tungsten. They're talking about reopening historic mines, and so that's all fantastic. What we've got that differentiates ourselves is this grade. And you'll look at some of the big global tungsten mines. You know, say in Korea with El Monte, that the grades average about 0.5%, and we're at 1.5%. That's a significant competitive advantage, particularly if you can demonstrate deposit size. And you got to that's going to be done by drilling.
Craig, you mentioned a lot of holes being dug for tungsten. First of all, the one question I had was, you said the mine is a historic mine, which is huge in my mind. But why did it stop in the 80s? And if you can talk a little bit more about just kind of how Resolution got a hold of it, or have you guys? I know that you guys saw. If you can also talk about the scheelite that's there, and kind of the confidence that you guys have in what you have.
Yeah, you've asked a lot of questions there, Steve.
Yeah, I did. Sorry, my mind's
The
going all like, oh,
you've had a couple of cups of coffee this morning. It's good to see. The and I have not, so I got a bit of a problem here. But the what do I say here? Yes, so we do feel great about the tungsten that we the drilling that we're doing. We're putting the core under ultraviolet lamps, and we've published this. I mean, it lights up. You can see this. You go into a dark room, you put an ultraviolet light on it, and you'll see this scheelite mineralization lighting up. So, pretty confident that we are seeing an expansion of the mineralization out there, and it's just. You know, I can't say you were kind of commenting about, wow, you know, the fact that you've got this historic mine, that's a real positive. And it is. Sometimes I forget about the fact that we are sitting on this past producing mine. And it did produce intermittently. It was a relatively small scale mine. It was beyond a mom and pop operation. And that's demonstrated by the fact that this mill was built to support the mining there. But it just it why did it stop producing in the 80s? It was likely it was a price of tungsten was low at that time. It wasn't economic. It wasn't a topical. It wasn't a you know a it wasn't a commodity that was in vogue at the time. A lot of that material, the wartime had run down. There wasn't as much demand for it, and it was plentiful to acquire tungsten from global sources. And now there's this big push on for domestic supplies, not wanting to rely on global sources, which often are produced in areas that are not friendly to the United States. So that's why the current administration is pushing for domestic supplies of this stuff. Grade is king in any mining operation. So the fact that this thing did produce at 1.5 to 2% is a real plus for us. We think we'll be able to develop, and we're at early stages yet, but this was mined underground. That's how we would be planning to mine this. So with an underground mining operation, it's a much lower environmental footprint, which that's a big thing. It's a hot button item. It continues to be. Yes, the United States, the current administration is focused on domestic supplies, but they are not tossing aside any of their concerns about you know, environmental conduct of mining operations. That continues to be very, very high on the list. And underground mining is, you know, you need higher grades to do that, obviously, than open pit. But it's the environmental footprint is much lesser. So the fact that we do have an underground mining story is positive, obviously. It's associated with gold, but we're not even talking about $4,000 plus an ounce gold. You and I haven't even uttered the word, and we've got this big halo of gold behind us at Golden Gate. It's not called Tungsten Gate, it's called Golden Gate, and it was called Golden Gate for a reason, because you've got all of this gold that's sitting. That hill behind me is a gold deposit. And we've just got tungsten mineralization, and we've got antimony associated with the gold in this intrusive related gold system that we have at the Horsehaven project. And the big thing I always tell people is, the geologic model that we've got at Horsehaven is exactly the same as the geologic model next door at Perpetua's Stibnite Gold Project. And you're seeing them. They've got antimony, they've got gold. They recently announced tungsten results. It's the exact same rock that's coming out of drill core at Stibnite that we've got at Horsehaven. And that should give investors, this is not, we are not wildcatting for tungsten and antimony and gold. It's out there and then them there hills. So we're on to something, and our job is raising capital to grow that deposit as much as possible, and we're growing it by the drill bit, number one, but we're also, spending time in Washington. We're telling our story not just to investors, but we're also telling our story to the current administration, to the Department of War, to the Pentagon, and it's getting traction. It doesn't happen quickly. It takes a lot of work, but it truly is, Steve. We're in the right commodities. We're in the right location, being right next door to Perpetua. We're in a commodity pricing environment that is very positive for what we've got. This isn't a transitional thing. This isn't, a little price spike in something like tungsten or gold. Like, we are on to a pricing environment that I think is sustainable over the medium to long term. And with this big push on for domestic source of supply. So it I think we're in a real good place with the Horsehaven project.
Craig, I got two more questions in my mind. I mean, you can't get in my head, but in my mind, they're related, but I'm not trying to lead you anywhere. But let me go ahead and ask them, and then we'll go one by one. One, you mentioned just kind of we talked about the assays. Things don't always go as planned, but you guys are moving along. What exactly are you hoping the assays show? Is it, you talked about how awesome your grades are. Are you looking for stronger grades, the scale of the tungsten, or if you can talk a little bit about the north-south connection, is like that seems significant to me. And if that's the case, I'd love to see if you can touch a little bit more upon the north-south connection as well. And that, I guess let's ask one question at a time.
Sure. At my age, you got to ask me one question at a time, Steve. When you throw three questions at me, I'm going, oh my God, I don't even remember the second question, let alone the third. So I'm being a little bit ageist there. But anyways, the so well, let's talk about the drilling. And what we're looking to find, and let's just deal with that off of the hop. So this Golden Gate target is about 3 kilometers long, and last year we were drilling up at what we call Golden Gate North. This year we're drilling at Golden Gate South, and it's a kind of a kilometer and a half away from Golden Gate North. And what we're It's never been drilled before. So we are looking for gold and we're looking for tungsten. Why are we drilling at Golden Gate South? It's because we've identified a very large gold in soil anomaly and a tungsten in soil anomaly, and they're sitting right on top of each other. So you're not going to get tungsten in every hole. I hope to get gold in most of the holes. But what we're trying to prove is that there is a geologic relationship between Golden Gate South down here and Golden Gate North up top. And if we can prove that there's mineralization here and there's mineralization here, what we'll do with the next permit is we're permitting drill pads beneath Golden Gate South and Golden Gate North. We've already confirmed there's mineralization of tungsten and gold up at Golden Gate North. This year, we want to prove that there's mineralization of both at Golden Gate South, and next year it's going to be connecting the two by drilling in between the two. So I do hope to see when we talk about grade, one of the things you're going to see at Golden Gate South is that when up at Golden Gate North, we some of these holes that had very long intercepts, like 250 meter intercepts of 1.5 grams per ton gold, we feel we were drilling right down the structure. So you would expect to see some of these longer holes. At Golden Gate South, we're drilling across, so we're trying to show how wide these structures are, because you don't it, part of it is how long they are, some of how deep, and what we need to know is how wide across these structures are. So there is we're drilling in a pattern that's going to allow us to establish an understanding of how wide this mineralization is. So you're going to see, I think you're going to see a variation of low grade to higher grade gold, and you're going to number one and number two, you're going to see tungsten mineralization that's never been drilled at Golden Gate South. And if that should excite people, in my opinion. And assuming we get those, that the tungsten that we hope to see at Golden Gate South, it's not much of a leap to see that connection between Golden Gate South and Golden Gate North.
Second question is Perpetua Resources. You mentioned, we talked a bit about it. You mentioned it's the same rock. If you could expound on just what gives you the most confidence that Perpetua is a good comp. I know that you're right there. If it is, what could that mean for the potential for investors here? If you could talk a little bit maybe about market cap or just the value that you see in Resolutions at this time.
Yeah, well, our market cap's in the $100 million range. Theirs is in the $4 billion range plus. We've got we I mentioned it. This is an intrusive related gold system. So there's a large intrusion that runs between that sits directly between the Perpetua Stibnite project and the Horse Heaven project. Just imagine my head is that intrusion. And then you've got these
That's
north-south
distracting,
faults.
Craig.
I'm not selling myself well here, but you got these north-south faults at Perpetua that host, Hanger Flats, and Golden Meadows, these deposits that are at Perpetua. And then that fault goes off to the northeast at Horse Heaven. On the west side of the intrusion, you've got north-south structures that we're drilling on, and they also go off to the northeast. So that's a second comparison. You've got the intrusion, you've got the north-south structures, and then you've got the same host rock that is hosting mineralization over at Golden at Stibnite is this the same stuff we're seeing at Golden Gate. And that mineralization, I mean, it's the same thing they've got over at Stibnite. It's gold, it's tungsten, and it's antimony. Same thing we've got there. And then what else can I say to give you? I mean, I have to be cautious with what I say here, but we've got a very friendly relationship with Perpetua. Their operating guys are geologists on the ground. We know them well. It's a small community up there. So they follow what we're doing, and they come in and they'll have a look at core that we've got coming off of the hill, and they're like, yeah, that's it's not me telling you that. It's those folks going, yep, this is the same, very similar looking rock to what we're drilling. It's one very large system. This Yellow Pine Stibnite mining district that we're sitting in the middle of, that district won the Second World War because of the antimony and the tungsten that was removed from that hill. Some of it was removed from our project at Antimony Ridge, and then some of it, much more of it, was removed at the Stibnite project. So this is a very large system. The fact that the U.S. government has invested so much money in the Perpetua project, Tells a lot about the quality, the potential quality and size of the resource that we have next door. I mean, it's consider, it's taking a loaf of bread, slicing it down the middle. They've got one half much further advanced. We've got the other half. And we're starting to put peanut butter and jam on that slide, that on our half, and it's starting to look pretty exciting.
Craig, it's exciting to me too. Just for our listeners, I want to disclose that I am an investor. Some of us here, natural resource stocks, have gone in and out of the resolution here. And I want to disclose that while I am personally bullish on gold, and I do see, I mean, the you know when you see the government back in tungsten and antimony, I mean, and being critical, it's just a lot to like. I am not giving investment advice. However, please do your due diligence. One of the ways you can do that is to reach out to Craig. Thanks to Craig and Resolution, who I want to disclose is one of our sponsors. A privilege to tell, help share the story. Check them out. Follow their ticker, the website. Reach out to Craig with any questions that you guys might have. Craig, if you can be so kind as to tell our listeners how they can do all that, how they can follow your website tickers and how they're where you're trading in. How they might ask you any questions.
Sure. Website is www.resolutionminerals.com. You can reach me at craig@resolutionminerals.com. That's my email address. We trade on the ASX under the symbol RML. We also trade on the OTC QB market. RLMLF is our symbol. On the OTC. And then we've got an ADR program in place, and we've applied. We are going through the process of listing on NASDAQ, which I'm hoping it's going to happen soon. It's going to open up a large investor market to us. I think there's going to be a lot of interest once we get on to NASDAQ and people can participate in a senior exchange like that. So that process is ongoing.
Awesome. Well, Craig, thanks so much. Listeners, thank you so much for listening. And Craig, look forward to following your story.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be with you today.
Likewise. Go get some
Okay.
coffee.
All right. All right. Appreciate it, sir.